knows what is going to come out of my mouth. You know, that's good. I'm excited to be here this morning. This is absolutely fantastic. It's all about the Holy Spirit, isn't it? That's what we want to have a meeting with. That's good. That's good. Oh, that's good. Thank you. Great. I really didn't have any hard time finding this place. I think you've got a great location. You know, it's so beautifully located, and it's just so easy to get in here, and I didn't have any problem at all. So you are in a very good location. This is really a beautiful place. You know, you have a beautiful entrance. You know, you can't beat that, you know. And we meet at a school as well. I'm pastoring, along with Marina and I, pastor a church in Mississauga, the campus that is for Catch the Fire Toronto. And we meet at a school as well. And I guess, like you guys, we fold things away, put it away, and come back again on Sunday morning, put it out. And, you know, it's fun, isn't it? It's like you're moving house every week. You know, and you get your same house every week, isn't it? That's what I love about that. I wish our kids could learn something out of this, isn't it? Keep your room clean. Well, fantastic. Well, you know, this message that came out of, was in a holiday that I had with my wife in San Francisco in July. My wife and I and our boys, we have a 20-year-old and we have a 15-year-old. And we kind of decided last minute to go on a holiday to visit our family members in San Francisco. And I, for one, I like some activities. If there's no activities, then I feel a little bit bored, you know. So my mornings was a lot of time with God. You know, I was saying, God, this is the morning I'm going to give to you. They had a nice pool, so we sat down by their pool, and I would get away first thing in the morning and just spend time with God and say, Lord, what are you saying? And you know, as any other human being on earth, we all have some frustration points in our life, isn't it? How many would agree with me, right? All right, let's be normal here, folks, okay? I don't want to be the preacher, and I don't want you to be a spectator. We're all one family, okay? And that's what I love about Catch the Fire Toronto. We're all one big family. We all got a little home in Midtown and in Mississauga and Brampton and all everywhere. And as I was meditating one morning, and I said, God, when is going to be my time to do this? When is going to be my time to see this happen? When is it going to be my time? You know, when will I ever see that happen? When will this dream that you gave me is ever going to come back to pass? When is this prophetic word spoken over me by, you know, by herself? How did that come back to pass? Or anybody, right? Or when is this vision that you gave me, Lord, will going to come back to pass? Anybody was in that place? Anybody's in that place? Okay, most of us, in some way or other, we're all kind of saying, Lord, when will my dream come to pass? When will that prophetic word that was given to me will come back to pass? And here I am sitting first thing in the morning complaining to God. Say, God, when is that moment? When is that beautiful thing ever going to happen? And out of this came this message that I want to share with you this morning. You know, how God told me that there is an appointed time fixed for everything in our life. There is a fixed time for each one of us. You know, we are kind of always, I for one, I'm always on a little horse wagon trying to get things done. And let's move on. Let's get to the next thing. Let's do this. Let's do that and kind of a thing. And my poor wife, who's been married to me for almost 23 years or 22 years, is like, okay, honey, let's go slow. Let's kind of wait. Let's not say, no, let's do this and let's do that. Anybody here can kind of agree with me on that? One or two hands, fantastic. You know, helping me here to speak. You know, we all kind of did that, you know. And God said, my son, just wait for the appointed time. And in the appointed time, everything that I have shown you, everything that you desire, everything that I have given you will come to pass. And here I am, okay, Lord, really help me through this, Lord, because I really need your help, Lord, in this. So I'm like, okay, Holy Spirit, what must I do? So here are a couple of scriptures that I want to kind of give it to you this morning. Is that the right clock that I need to pay attention to? Oh, it's at school time. So it's 5 to 12, that means. That means we got about 4 more hours to go. Wonderful. Okay, fantastic. All right, so if you could kindly turn with me to Acts chapter 17. I want to give you a little scripture here. If you are not much familiar with my life, Marina and I have been part of Catch the Fire for now from 1998. That's when we got saved at the same church at Toronto Apple Christian Fellowship. And we came on board as I came on board on staff in the year 2000, helped in the operation side of the ministry for a while. And about 4 or 5 years ago, I moved into Catch the Fire. At that time, Catch the Fire was just over an international side of the ministry, and then worked with my boss, Duncan Smith, who is now in Raleigh. Amazing man, fiery man. I'm sure he's been here. And now I'm pastoring a church. We did the Brampton and Mississauga, and we're absolutely having a time of our life. So here's a scripture that would really kind of help us lay down some foundation on what I want to share this morning. It's in Acts chapter 17, verse 26. And here it says, "And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation." Let's read that one more time so that it kind of sets into our spirit. "And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined their appointed time." Let's all say appointed time. "And the boundaries of their habitation." Let's sort of put our hands out and say, "Lord, I really want to hear what you want to say this morning." As very beautifully Sandra said, we want to hear what God's got to say, and that's exactly what we want to hear this morning. Daddy, we just surrender this message that you gave me about a couple of months ago. And Holy Spirit, as I lay this down in this beautiful congregation here in Midtown, Father, I pray, let their spirit be encouraged this morning, Father. Let their hearts be stirred up, Father. Let their life be stirred up, Father. Let them know that you are a good God. And only good things come from you, Father. All good stuff come from you, Father. And Father, as we choose to wait for that appointed time, that fixed time, we're believing, Daddy, that you will enable us. You will strengthen us. You will give us the power. You will give us the Holy Spirit that will allow us to persevere in prayer, waiting for that appointed time, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. You know, the amazing story that we can always relate to is Abraham and Sarah. We all know the story. Abraham and Sarah have been married for, I don't know, they've been living together. At least the Bible says they were 80 or 90 years old, right, for a long time. I'm not quite there yet. I'm halfway through, you know. And here it is, Abraham and Sarah lived most of their life, and they're saying, "Hey, wow, you know, look, we are come to a beautiful land. We got no children. Out of a beautiful mistake came Ishmael, you know, and all that stuff happened. But we don't have our own little seed. We don't have our own little gift that God has given us." And they're like, "But whatever, you know, our life goes on. We're going to live with it, and we'll see what God is going to do." And the Lord visits them. I mean, that is amazing. If you read the scripture, the Bible says, I believe the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit showed up in their home that day, right? And it was Abraham trying to put a food together and whatnot. And the Lord visits them. And the Lord says, here's what he says. Let's turn to that scripture for a moment really quick. It's in Genesis chapter 18. The Lord, it's in verse 10. The Lord visits them. I mean, we all get a prophetic word, okay? We all get a vision. We all get, you know, dreams. But what a cool scene that would be. There's a knock at your door and saying, "I'm Jesus. I'm here to have a meeting with you. You have some time for me?" Just think of that situation. How many would like that? I mean, we all would like that. Some are not quite ready for it yet, looks like. But how many would like that? I would like that. But here is Abraham and Sarah had a visitation from the Lord himself. And he's saying, next time, the next year at this time, you will have a child. And what does Sarah do? She laughs at it. She literally laughs at it. She said, this God must be crazy. I am old and ready to depart from this earth, and you're about to give me a child? And probably she probably turned to Abraham and said, I don't know what you're going to find in this kind of, probably they must have had a little discussion there, you know. And God must have said, look what he said. He says in verse 10, if you're wondering why my V and my W, I keep struggling with it. That's because I come from India. We say our V and our W very much the same. So you'll have to bear with me through that verse, okay? It's not worse, by the way. It's verse, V-E-R-S-E. 10, it says, and I will surely return to you at this time next year. And behold, Sarah, your wife, will have a son. And Sarah was listening at the tent door. She was behind him. And the story, you and I know this. Let's go down to verse 14. It says, is anything too difficult for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you. At this time next year, Sarah will have a son. This is God knocking at their door saying, hey, I'm here to visit you. I just want to let you know, next year, your 90-year-old wife is going to have a son. It's absolutely mind-boggling. It's absolutely something. God has given you a dream. God has given you a vision. God has given you a prophetic word. God's showed you pictures. God, people have spoken into your life, and you're like saying, we'll see when that's going to come. We'll see when that's going to happen. I'm not sure if that's my time. But wait, because God has an appointed time for you and for me. There is a season that God has appointed for each and every one of us. God works in seasons. God works in fixed years. God has a plan and a destiny. We've heard this word so many times. Oh, I have a plan and a destiny. He will never forsake you. He will never leave you. He is true to his word, my friends. God will do it. Because, you know, Marina and I have so many stories to tell. We never planned to be pastors. We never even planned to be saved in the first place. We never planned anything like this. We just left India and we said we're going to Canada, a beautiful country, and we're going to have some beautiful life. That's what we came for. I was in the hotel industry for 22, 23 years, and I used to be an assistant GM at Travelodge Hotel, and my thing was, I want to climb up the ladder. I want to become the next vice president for the Royal Host organization that I was working for. And God pulled me out of that beautiful mess. And he brought me to a little church called Toronto Airport Christian Fellowship. And that, you know the story. That's where we've been there for ever since. So God's plan is not your plan. You and I know the scripture, Isaiah 55. God's thoughts are not your thoughts. God's ways are not your ways. He's thinking very differently than you and I. You're getting up in the morning and saying, where's my Starbucks and where's my Tim Hortons? So probably that's what you're thinking. He's getting up in the morning and he's saying, what can I do for my child this morning? What can I bless her this morning? What can I give Mark this morning? What can I do something different this morning? And we all think differently when we get up in the morning. But God always is thinking something good for you. If you turn with me to Habakkuk chapter 2, you all have gone through hearing God's voice. How many have gone through hearing God's voice? We just recently had Mark Workler last weekend. And here's an amazing scripture that we value it, we cherish it. It's one of the foundational scriptures of Catch the Fire, to hear God's voice. If you don't hear God's voice, we can't really move on further in life, isn't it? And here's a scripture that sort of helped me to understand while I was fighting with God by the pool. It says in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1, it says, I will stand on my guard post and station myself on the rampart, and I will see, and I will keep watch to see what he will speak to me and how I may reply when I am reproved. Then the Lord answered me and said, record the vision and inscribe it on tablets, that the one who reads it may run. For here it is, pay attention to this. For the vision is yet for the appointed time. It hastens towards the goal and it will not fail. Pay attention to that again, my friends. Though it tarries, wait for it will certainly come and it will not delay. If God's given you a word, If God's given you a promise, if God's shown you something, in His season, in His due time, God has a plan for you and for your children. It's in the book of Acts. The promise of the Holy Spirit is for you and for your children. God never fails. You know, we come to church on a Sunday morning, come with expectation. When every Sunday when you come here to Midtown, come with such expectation in your heart. God, I know for sure that you will never fail me. I am coming this morning to worship you. I'm coming this morning to praise you. I'm coming this morning to get excited what you're about to do in my life in this coming season. And that's how excited you and I need to get, my friends. You know, just yesterday my wife was having a meeting with one of our members of our church. And she's saying, I don't feel the excitement the way you guys get excited on Sunday morning. What should I do? Like, you really need to help me. And it never dawned on me till last night. Marina and I were just talking. She's saying we're getting excited. Wow, that must be the Holy Spirit, because we were not really getting excited. We were going through some things in our mind playing. So you see what happens? It's the Holy Spirit that's within us that enables you. The word power is actually being able, being efficient, the might, the strength that the Holy Spirit gives you to what? To get excited, because God's word is not something that's written on the wall and never comes to pass. God's word is written in your heart, and it will come to pass what He has sent it for. It's in Isaiah 55 again. It says, I send the word and it will not return back to me until it's fulfilled. You and I need to get excited, guys. We have to get excited. When we come to church on Sunday morning, you need to get so excited. You know, that after Marina said that to me last night, I said, Marina, we need to get excited more then. It's absolutely right to get excited more on Sunday mornings. Because we come to celebrate the name of Jesus. We come to celebrate our Heavenly Father. We come to celebrate with the Holy Spirit. He is not something that has done and gone some thousands of years ago. He's alive, working in us every moment of our life. I'm telling you, my friends, what you have with you, the world does not have. You have the greatest treasure, the Holy Spirit, that's been given to us. An amazing story that I totally love is about Joseph from the book of Genesis. How many have read his story? I love Joseph, isn't it, Joseph? I'm looking at Joseph there. What an amazing man he is, you know. Joseph is one of my favorite characters in the Bible. Here is Joseph, has a dream. I don't know, he must have been 17, 14, 15, something, has a dream that all these sheaves are going to bow down, and he interprets it, all his brothers are going to bow down, his brother's going to bow down, his father's going to bow down, and he has this great dream within him, and he's all excited at the age of 17, just to find himself thrown in a pit. I mean, what kind of a dream is that? That God got him all excited, and the next thing he knows, he's in a pit. He's been carried away by the Ishmaelites or the tribal people into Egypt. And the next thing he knows, he's thrown from a pit to another pit. The things are getting just worse for him. He's like, oh Lord, just, he's probably forgotten about his dream. He's probably forgotten about all the mess. He's probably forgotten about everything. But God had given him a gift. God had given him a talent. God gave him a dream and interpretation within him. So here he is sharing this or interpreting the dream with the butler and the baker. You and I know the story. And he tells the butler what is going to happen to him, and he tells the baker what's going to happen to him. And he's like, hey, when you go before the Pharaoh, telling the butler, don't forget to mention about me. I'm here in this pit for a long time. I'm a Hebrew boy, and this is not where I'm supposed to be. I've had this amazing dream. My brothers are all waiting for me to bow down before me. He's probably saying something like that, you know. He's like saying, or he's probably saying, get me out of this place. I don't know, humanly possible. You see, when things go wrong in our life, when things, everything goes wrong around us, you don't look at your circumstance, you don't look at the dream what God gave you, you look at your circumstances where you are. Right now, we all have some circumstances, something or other you and I are facing in our life. So we are all kind of bound by that. Okay, here's where I am. I got this mortgage to pay. I got these bills to pay. I got this next thing going on in my life. I got to do this and I got to do that. And we're all kind of caught up. How many can relate to me on that? Okay, most of us. We're all having in that place, right? But here's what I love about that happens. This is your moment. This is your time to persevere in prayer. Joseph, I'm sure, as a good Hebrew boy, prayed before God, thanked God every day, worshiped God every day. His prayer before the Lord was a dream given to Pharaoh up in the palace. He is in the pit crying to his God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And that same God gives Pharaoh a dream, what he's about to do in the land of Egypt and all around the land. And there is nobody else he could find it. You and I know the story. Joseph gets pulled up. The scripture says, hastily, suddenly, he's been brought before the Pharaoh. Your sudden moments, that things happen, suddenly you think's happening in your life, suddenly you think shifting in your life, is an appointment from God. There is no sudden moments in God's kingdom. But when we see something suddenly happen in our life, God is saying, that's my appointed time for Joseph to be in front of Pharaoh. That's my appointed time for each one of us to be in front of that amazing opportunity that God can do. God can do things that you and I are not even prepared for. See, you and I are so contained, if I could use the word, oh Lord, if you could only get me out of this mess. Oh Lord, just get me out of this little mess that I'm in. Oh Lord, if you could only help me out of this. I mean, if I have an old car and I have a new car, so we gave the old car to our son very conveniently. You know, son, you can drive this car, it'll keep you going. You know, but every time I drive that little old 95 car, and if something goes wrong, at that moment, I'm only thinking about the car. I'm not thinking about my dream, my prophetic word, or anything like that. Our circumstances almost boxes in. You know, our circumstances kind of draws us to that place of saying, oh Lord, just get me out of this. Get me out of this. But God is not only looking out for your blessing. God wants to make you a blessing for others. What happened to Pharaoh? What happened to Joseph? God got him out, made him the second in place. He not only had his brothers bow down to him, not only had his whole family get saved, he not only had, but the whole land of Egypt was under him. And not only that, because God gave him a word, God gave him a promise, God went ahead of him 17 years or 13 years before and told him, at an appointed time, I'm going to make you second in command, which when I would require you. He not only became a blessing for his brothers and his father, but he became a blessing to the land of Egypt. See, your dream, your prophetic word, your vision that God has given you is not just for you. That's something what I learned in this last 2 months. What's been given to you is not just for you. It's for your spouse, it's for your children, it's for your extended family, it's for the people, it's for the community around you. What's God given you, God wants to empower you to do the things that you have not even been imagining about. You're saying, oh Lord, just bless me, bless me, bless me, bless me. And God is saying, I'm going to bless everybody, my son, my daughter. That's when what you're carrying in your heart, that word that God has given you, let it rain with God's promise over you. Let it rain with the Holy Spirit. Just meditate on it every day of your life. The Holy Spirit, I know at an appointed time, at a fixed time, at a due season, you're going to bring things to pass what you have promised me. And if you're in this room and you're saying, I really don't have any kind of word like that. I really don't have anything. I'm sure we do prophetic presbytery here. Come on in Sunday morning and say, what God is for me this morning. I want to hear it. Write it down. I journal my things when God gives it to me. And I pray over it. And I say, God, I know in a due time, in a due season, you're going to bring to pass. Are you guys with me at this so far? We're almost done. There is another scripture that sort of the Lord led me to sort of meditate upon. It was in Acts chapter 1. Let's turn to that. I totally love the book of Acts. You know, here it is again. The disciples spent almost 3 years with the Lord. And they knew now, he's our king, he's our master, he's the resurrected one, he's the one who's going to be the one that is going to rule us. Again, their mind is very, very much narrow. Look at the scripture I'm going to tell you in a minute. Let's sort of read from Acts chapter 1. Let's go to verse 4. Gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, you heard from me. I want you to get that word into your spirit. Wait. But to wait for what the Father had promised. I want you to get the word promise, which he said, you heard from me. And sort of then if you go down to sort of verse 6, it says, so when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, Lord, is it at this time you're restoring the kingdom to Israel? Now pay attention to this. They're asking him a question. Is this the time that you're going to bring the kingdom of Israel together? Is this time you're going to restore Israel? Now they look at their mind. They're only thinking about Israel. They're only thinking about where they are. And look what the Lord says. He said to them, verse 7, it is not for you to know times or epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority. You and I get so concerned about when is it going to happen? When is it going to happen? And we forget the blessing God has given you now. We forget where you are at now. If I can only picture Midtown for a moment, you have been blessed with a beautiful set of pastors. You've been blessed with a beautiful set of worship. You've been blessed to come to a place where the Holy Spirit moves freely. You come to a place where God is meeting with you. You come to a place where the Holy Spirit is ministering to you. I am sorry to say this. There's not a lot of places you can go like that. I have people come to our campuses and they completely say this. I am so glad I found the right place. This is a gift. This is a blessing that you and I need to embrace. And you and I need to say, oh God, this is the best moment of my life. This is the best moment to see my children just sitting around and having fun while we are at church. This doesn't look like church to me. It looks like we are having some sort of a nice little fun thing. Hey, the good news is the Father's house, you're supposed to have fun. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord. Always. 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 You and I are supposed to have fun in the Father's house. So let us celebrate every moment of our life and say, God, I am so grateful to you where you have kept me today. I am so grateful to you for my cell leaders. I'm so grateful to you where you have positioned me in life. I'm so grateful to you for the songs you've given me at the worship team. I'm so grateful to you for the sermons that you give me. I'm so grateful to you that amazing things have been done in my life. And these are the things that you and I need to cherish it. And here it is that he says in verse 8. This is what I love about it. But. They're concerned about when is Israel going to be restored. They're concerned about when is the kingdom going to be restored. And they're sort of limiting themselves to the little tiny Israel, which the land is like a small piece of a cheese. That's all the land is, you know. And they're like, when they're concerned about this. And God is saying, I got a bigger picture, my friend. But till that bigger picture comes, this is what I want you to do. You remember the word wait? Remember the word promise? And look what God says, the third word. But you will receive power. Let's say power. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you shall be my witness, both in Jerusalem. Pay attention to this. Not just in Jerusalem. Let me kind of play with the scripture. Not just in Judea. Not just in Samaria. Even to the remote part of the earth. Isn't that amazing? Your dream, your vision, your prophetic word that the Lord has given you is not just for you. When God gave John and Carol the dream in their heart in that little living room where they were praying, they must have said, Lord, let's have the Holy Spirit. I don't know what they were thinking. But look where we are 17 years down later. I mean, I was not even saved when they had their little church. And look where I am today. I'm one of the pastors of the campus. I don't think John ever knew me back then. But God goes ahead of us. God plans it ahead of us. God has visions, dreams, and prophetic word that's been given to you. I want you to go back to it, put your hand on it, and say, God, I am trusting in you. I'm believing in you. I know you will bring me out of where I am today. And I will see my dreams, my prophetic word, fulfilled in His appointed time. And you and I know the whole story. Acts chapter 2. You know, let's turn to that really quick. It's really fun when I read that. It's absolutely fantastic. Acts chapter 2, verse 2, it says, 1 says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come and were assembled together in one place. I love the word. And suddenly, look at the word. When suddenly there came a sound from heaven. See, the sudden moments are God's appointed time. Suddenly things began to shift. And the whole earth has been transformed by the knowledge of the Lord as the water covers the sea. What God did over 2,000 years ago, you and I are experiencing the same presence of God in our hearts, in our spirit. Isn't that amazing? When we get into that closet time, when we get into that quiet moment with God, you can experience that Holy Spirit. You don't need to go to Israel. You don't need to go up to that upper room. You can experience it in that closet. You know why? Because that was God's plan. God's plan said, I'm going to meet Faustin in 7245 Milano Court in Mississauga, not in Israel. You see, God has a bigger plan. We're almost there. We're almost done. What should I do while we're waiting for our promise to be fulfilled? What should I do? How can I just keep myself really calm or not being in a hasty moment or not being like I was grumbling in July and telling God, oh God, oh God, when that's going to happen, when this is going to, how can I do this, Lord? What can I do? How many can relate with me on that? We all have some point in our life. When is that moment, Lord? I'm like all, you know, frustrated, jumping into the pool 10 times to get an answer out of God, you know, trying to calm myself down. Like, Lord, when is that going to happen? And here's what the Lord showed me through 1 Corinthians chapter 4. If you could kindly turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. It's an amazing thing that the Holy Spirit does, my friends. I want you to recognize this. The Holy Spirit has been given to us to wait for the promise of God. The Holy Spirit has been given to us so that you and I can sustain, you and I can just persevere in prayer. That's what the Holy Spirit is for. The Holy Spirit is not just, I get slain in the power, not just manifestation. The Holy Spirit is not something that He gives a prophetic word. The Holy Spirit is that power, that efficiency that He gives you, that you can sustain, that ability to just wait for God's promise. That's what the Holy Spirit is all about. He is the third person in Trinity that you and I know. But why He's been given to us? So that you will experience, you can wait for that fulfillment of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, it says, or chapter 4, verse 5, it says, therefore, do not go on passing judgment before the time, but wait until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the things hidden in the darkness. Let me stop right there for a moment. Here's something happens to all of us humanly possible. We all get a little bit agitated. Oh God, when will I ever get my wife right into this thing? When would she ever get this right? And I start judging my wife. I start judging my friends. I start judging my pastors. I start judging my leaders. I start judging people. I start people in authority. I start judging. And we start almost sort of drawing a little picture about what they're supposed to do right, why they're not getting things right. God started checking my heart in that area and says, my son, that's not your place to judge people. We are not supposed to judge what you see and you think, oh, it's not right, but that's not our place to judge. We're not supposed to, we're supposed to wait and say, God, I'm going to persevere in prayer. Here's another scripture. Let me finish that scripture. It says, let me read that again actually. Therefore, do not go on passing judgment before the time, but wait until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the things hidden in the darkness and disclose the motives of men's heart.
then each man's praise will come to him from God. In his time, he will bring things to pass. It is not my time and it is not anybody's time here to sit and think why this is not done right, why that's not done right. That's not fair. My wife, better she wake up and realize she's not trying to get things right. Like, it's not right for me to judge my wife or my spouse or my children or my pastors or my leaders or my community or my whatever. I need to persevere and I need to wait and say, God, I know, God, that you are faithful to your word. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And your promise will endure. Your promise will come to pass. Your promise will fulfill the things that you desire for me. We need to wait on God's word. Our position is not to judge and condemn others. Our position is to wait till the promise of God is fulfilled in us. I'm almost done. If you could kindly all stand with me. In Romans chapter 2, you don't need to turn to that. You just sort of, we're going to transition into ministry. So if I could invite the worship team to come back. Shabba, are you guys having fun? Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. In Romans chapter 2, it says, I just want you to sort of get this into your spirit, you know, just put your hands up or you can lie down or whatever position you want to be in, you know. But meet with the Holy Spirit. Engage with the Holy Spirit. Let Him come and speak to you today. Let Him come and show you that I am there with you, my daughter. I am there with you, my son. I have not forsaken you. I have not forgotten you. Every word that I have spoken to you, everything that I have shown you in the years to come, I am with you, my son. And I will bring it past, my daughter. Just wait. Just wait for the promise. While I wait, what should I do, Lord? And here's a scripture where the Lord has been speaking to me lately. In Romans chapter 2. Therefore, you have no excuse, every one of you who passes judgment. For in that which you judge another, you condemn yourself. And patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance.